IDRA Class Notes, Episode 75.
I have actually one student that was shy one class becoming a junior. And these were students that probably were not going to even make it. They were actually probably going to drop out of school. I would say a high percentage of them. We made college familiar to them. We gave them the tools. We gave them the support systems. We instilled in them that they were going to be successful. They may have barriers and challenges, but they were going to overcome them. They were able to have that self-confidence in believing in them that they could do it.
Hi, this is Aurelio Montemayor. Welcome again. Today, I'll be talking with a colleague, Dr. Nilka Aviles, who's been a teacher, secondary teacher, a dean of academics, a principal, and in fact, was an administrator for several years at the university here in San Antonio for a project called Early College. And the reason why I think it's really important to talk to Nilka, good afternoon, Nilka.
Good afternoon, Aurelio.
It's because she was able to uncover or reconnect with something we believe very strongly here at IDRA, that if you value students in particular ways, you'll get results way beyond what most people expect. And so I'll ask you, Nilka, what did you discover about students generally who are not considered college material at a high school?
First of all, they do want to excel in their high school career and pursue a post-secondary education. What happens with them sometimes is they have already been exposed to the attitudes and beliefs of teachers, some administrators, counselors, and other people that they cannot do it for different reasons. They lack the confidence in that they can do it. So what we've done with our students is that we gave them that confidence. We told them they can do it. And even though there's many challenges and many obstacles, they can do it. Now, academically, many of them are not well prepared, and it is the fault of our school system more than anything else because of the fact that they don't believe that they can do the work, and consequently, they don't prepare them because they have low expectations of the students.
And what were you able to do in your program, for example, that gave them that confidence?
Well, the first thing that we did is we came with a good recruitment system. We explained to them what the expectations were. But along with that, we told them that they were going to have all of these support services and systems in place to ensure that they were going to be successful. So the main thing was, you come into this program and you will succeed.
What kind of specific supports did you give them, for example?
Well, first we start building relationship with the students and with their families, with their parents. And along with that, we provided a lot of information because college is their own familiar world. So we made college familiar to them.
Yes.
We gave them access. We started developing a college-going culture. And when we did that, we brought them to the university. We had 2 weeks academies. And in there, we provided them with essential study skills that they needed in order to be successful in high school, in college, and in their real world.
How many high schools were you working with in your project?
Three.
And these were in neighborhoods that were economically middle class?
No, primarily economically disadvantaged students.
Really? These were poor families.
Primarily minority students.
Uh-huh.
And again, we gave them the tools that they needed in order to succeed.
Well, you did your research. In fact, you got your PhD around that. What were your main findings when you did your study about that?
There were four main things. The motivation of students, academic expectations, their aspirations for college, and basically improving their academic achievement. Those were the main things.
So it wasn't just about their vision. They actually had to improve academically.
Yes.
And you were able to achieve that.
Yes. Because technically when we took them, these were the students that are those that are considered like they're not going to even graduate from high school and much less go on to college. And we told them, you will graduate from high school, college ready, and you will have college opportunities, including up to 60 college hours that you can attain.
So by the time they graduated from high school, they already had from how many to how many hours? What was the average?
Well, they have the opportunity from 3 all the way to 60.
Yes.
The average students are mainly acquire about 27, 28. That was the average between the three schools.
Well, if you think of 15 credit hours per semester, that was almost a full year of college when they graduated or when they had that.
That's correct.
Now, when you started, how did the teachers react? Were they with you? Did the faculty agree that these kids could go to college?
Well, because the administrators of the three schools, they had to recruit their teachers to come into this early college high school. And then those teachers received training. The first training was capturing kids' hearts with the premise that if you capture their heart, you can capture their brain. So basically the model was building relationships. That's the first R. The other R was the rigor. Along with that, the high expectation, the teaching involving the critical thinking skills and developing that on the students. And then the other one, the relevancy of the curriculum and real-world experiences.
Let me ask you honestly, where did you find a greater challenge, or was it equal, in changing the teachers or the adults' view of the kids, or the changing the kids' view of themselves?
Changing the adults.
That was the harder task.
Of the kids, and more so at the university level.
Really?
Yes, some of the faculty.
The college professors.
College professors, trying to understand how the students learn nowadays. And the disconnect between university and K-12 system is a big disconnect. For example, at the K-12 system, specifically at the high school level or secondary level, the focus is more on project-based learning.
Yes.
So this teacher will lecture for a short period of time, and the rest is using all these strategies to make sure that the students produce.
So there was a lot of hands-on activities.
A lot of hands-on.
Did you have to train the teachers in terms of how to do that, or they pretty much were doing it already?
To some extent, we had to train them a little bit and guide them and add more tools into their bags.
Yeah. But what about the college professor?
But the college professor, that's where I was having a hard time, because they don't want to do that. It's mainly whatever they want to do is
sink or swim for the kids, right?
They're the gurus. They know it all. In terms of the content, they may. And I'm not really criticizing the professor itself, but I just think that the same problem happened at university. The kids actually leave campus. The retention rate at university is extremely low. And a lot of it had to do because they don't have the methodologies. They don't teach the kids the way the kids are used to learning.
You know, under current conditions, high school teachers are held accountable if they flunk too many kids or the kids don't learn. Is there anything parallel at the university or college level?
They actually do some evaluations the students actually do, but whether they actually look at them or not, they produce actually the reports. But whether they do that or not, I don't think so, because actually even with my own high school teachers that were teaching college courses, they were also evaluated by the high school students, which is normally not the case in K-12 system. And then those evaluations were submitted to the department chairs, and I even asked the department chairs, have you looked at to see how the teachers are doing, to see if they're in tune with the way university courses are supposed to be taught? And when I asked them, they said, well, no, I haven't even thought about that. Let me ask you, because
there's a lot of literature, but I'm in the middle of reading this book called The Earth is Flat, and one of the things that the United States is getting outstripped by third world countries, by countries all over the world, is in our production of engineers, of people that are proficient, that have gone through college. And if the colleges right now don't adapt how they're teaching these kids. Right now we have, what's the retention rate of Latinos going to college? It's very low, right?
Very low, probably between the 30s and the 50s,
right.
If anything.
Of those that go to college,
graduate within 6 years.
Do you think that if I'm a professor and I say, well, what do you want me to do to water down my curriculum? Is that what I have to do as a professor?
No.
What do I have to do as a professor?
Definitely not. What the professor needs to do, in my opinion, is become more in tune with the methodologies of how they can actually be in tune with the way kids are learning nowadays. They're more technologically oriented, the students are. They're more hands-on. And when a professor provides that, then they're successful. And there were many professors there at UTSA that actually did that.
So student-centered, project-based, hands-on, that kind of stuff.
Exactly. We had one professor that when we were doing the planning, I actually said, we want this to be project-based learning mm-hmm. and assessments. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the summer session, her assessments were more of students had to come up and do PowerPoint presentations. They had to come up and for example, one of the projects that they did was the Dia de los Muertos.
Yes.
And they had to come up and display the whole thing. And they had to create it. They had to explain it. They had to set up in the hallways of mm-hmm. the university. And then we invited the parents and the administrators, and everybody came, and the student was there having to explain to the professor verbally of everything that they put together as far as those altares
yes.
that they did and what everything represented. So that's the type of learning that I'm talking about. And university folks that want to do it, they can.
It would seem to be, and it would seem to be that this is not just because these are atypical students. If our universities want to have people graduate with the skills, the requisite skills of the degrees, something has to give. I want to go a little bit back to the students, though. As a result of the students that you worked with that originally maybe were not considered college material, what were their self-perceptions?
As a matter of fact, when I would see them in the halls when they were ninth graders, they were not talking about going to the mall or going to the movies. They were talking about what they were going to major in.
As freshmen.
What universities they were going to find information on, where they would like to go.
They saw themselves as college material.
Right, because we started building yes. that college-going culture very early on. So not only did we build it with the students, but we also built it with their parents. And because all these courses were going to be free uh-huh. of charge to the student, that was going to impact their family pockets.
Well, you know, when you think of 1 year of college and what it costs, even at a public college, and a student can graduate with 15 or 30 college hours, you're talking about huge savings in time and money right there.
Most of the students enter either with 12, but I have actually one student that mm-hmm. was shy one class to be becoming a junior.
Wow.
She earned 57 college credit hours.
Wow.
And these were students that probably were not going to even make it. They were actually probably going to drop out of school. I would say a high percentage of them. But because of the, we made the unfamiliar world of college familiar to them. We gave them the tools. We gave them the support systems. We instilled in them that they were going to be successful. They may have barriers and challenges, but they were going to overcome them. They were able to have that self-confidence in believing in them that they could do it. And then when they went to college, after they graduated from high school, and I asked them, well, how do you feel? Do you have butterflies in your stomach? And they said, no, I feel fine. I mean, I'm part of this place because they were there.
How many came from families that had gone to college, their parents or older siblings?
I would probably say maybe 5 to 10%.
Wow, so they were the first ones. Can you think of one that you remember, without naming names, that made a dramatic change from the beginning to
end? Yes, I can tell you about one young lady that actually I interviewed her as part of some of my research, and I was told by some of the teachers that she was a slow learner, and I could see that when I would go see the classes, because when the kids were doing their assignments, she was actually a little behind. But the thing with her was that her grandmother had just gotten a degree. Her mother was a nurse. She was actually a nurse, but she was going to college to becoming a registered nurse. So she wanted to take this opportunity to continue that legacy. And she knew that she was a slow learner, but she put in a lot of time. She would come early in the morning. She would stay at lunch. She would get her lunch tray and come back to the classroom. She persisted, exactly. She knew that she wanted to be successful. She knew that everybody was telling her that she could be successful. And that young lady graduated with about 48 college credit hours.
Wow. And she was labeled a slow student.
And she was labeled a slow student. We also had special ed students. And I have one special ed student that came to my office one time to tell me that should she take the PSAT training that we were given for the students for 2 weeks, because she never took the tax. She was taking the other test for special ed. And she said, do you think I should go? And I said, do you want to go to the training? And she said, yes, I want to go. And I said, well, go for it. You know, more power to you. Let's do it. And she took the SAT test and did better than some of the students that were not special ed.
Wow.
So And that young lady actually graduated high school with 12 college credit hours. And their GPAs also improve as well.
I want to thank you, Nilka. I think it's your vision and your persistence with these students. But you saw in them what they already had, and that's part of IDRA's vision. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to IDRA Class Notes. For more information on IDRA and other Class Notes topics, go to www.idra.org. You can also send us your thoughts by email to podcast@idra.org.